hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the program. It's a few little liquid sunshine with you today.
And brought the umbrella.
I noticed that. So is it coming down too hard?
I mean, nobody wants to see a soaking wet mayor wandering around aimlessly without an umbrella. It's not a good picture, Bart. And we were off air talking about the power of radio and the images we produce with our words when we get to do this. And just an image of the mayor looking like a drowned rat wandering the square is not a good look for the county.
But like radio, I would imagine that's a very enjoyable thing to do, helping people, helping others.
Yeah, that's why we're here, Bart.
Yeah,
all of us. That's why we're here.
I think that's what radio is all about. And I've never been a county mayor, but. How is it? How is it being a county mayor? Do you enjoy it? I mean, that's a strange thing to ask somebody, but I'm just...
Do I enjoy it? Do I enjoy... Wow, that is a great question.
Oh, I hope you do. I mean, I would hate to think anybody is out there doing something that they really don't enjoy.
Well, you know what? Maybe I should... That's a great question. That's a phenomenal question. You have, Bart, caught me... Speechless.
I didn't mean to do that.
Well, no, it's okay. I love the question. I don't, as I go through my day and as I interact with what is arguably the best workforce in Rutherford County, especially county employees, I mean, that I could hope for, there are a lot of parts of this job that are ugly, just to be candid. And so that question is interesting because I wanted to talk about that this morning. I didn't share it with you in advance because I've been praying about what do I want to talk about with you this morning and what words can we use, Bart, to leave a real positive impact on our community today? What did we deposit to our community today, this morning, this hour?
What can 10 years from now people remember?
Or what is going to, what seed did we plant? Does that make sense?
Sure.
And I have, like so many people across the country, have been impacted by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I've started taking stock and inventory of my words, my freedoms, my liberties, and how I can responsibly exercise those freedoms and liberties. And then I see the assassination of Charlie Kirk, for him doing that, which you're in the communication business. You are in the free speech business.
Everybody is, I think.
True. But broadcast radio is.
It is.
It is in the free speech business.
Sure.
And I so much appreciate that. And as a elected official, I'm in the business and make ensuring that your civil liberty is not violated. That's my job, to make sure that you, as a free speech therapist, have the opportunity to exercise your gift. And then I see Charlie Kirk exercising his gift and being assassinated for it. And then... If that wasn't enough, then I see his wife stand up and say, "I forgive him." That had a profound impact on me. So when you ask me, and I'm being overly verbose, my apologies, but when you ask me the question, do I enjoy the job? The answer is, I enjoy serving this county. There are aspects to being an elected official that I find horribly distasteful. I find ugly. I find that our political officials, it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you're on. It doesn't matter what your position is. I find that we are easy targets for cheap and ugly and dishonest rhetoric that is personal, and it is meant to harm. It is meant to, as the word says, kill and destroy in an effort on the other side. And it doesn't matter which side, pick a side, Bart. But we have got to tone down the rhetoric in our community, in our state, in our nation, where we vilify somebody, dehumanize them because we don't agree with their position.
We didn't used to be that way.
We didn't. And
what was the reason?
I don't know. Bart, I think about this a lot. All I can say is that there is a, unfortunately, I'm going to be just be honest. There seems to be a growing segment of our population, our culture, and I'm talking nationally, but it's taking place here in Rutherford County too, where we believe our only response is the vitriol that we can employ that dehumanizes somebody, so that a crazy can then use that dehumanization of language that targets a specific individual to enact violence. And that's where we're at. And so I don't know what the answer is, other than for those in elected office and for those seeking elected office and for those who like to play on the sidelines, who like to chirp on the sidelines, it's okay to engage in vigorous and honest debate. It's okay to be passionate. But what's not okay is the labels that dehumanize somebody that are factually wrong in an effort for power and control. We have got to stop. And so you're asking me, do I enjoy the job? I enjoy the opportunity to serve this community. There are lots of the parts about this job that are difficult, but that's okay. I'm trying to be obedient to what I think I'm supposed to do, and I will continue to try to do that. And hopefully, we will exercise Micah 6:8. And you know what Micah 6:8 is, Bart?
Share with us.
Thank you. I was hoping you would say that. Seek justice, love mercy, and walk in humility. If we just did that, and that's what I want to do.
You know, you look back on years past, generations past, we were not as divided. We're just really divided.
Horribly
now.
Divided, and more so now every day.
There's no middle of the road. It's one side extreme or the other side extreme. Nothing in the middle, which has divided our country. How could we get that back to where we're in the middle of the road?
This country has always been divided along ideological lines or lines regarding an issue. That is not new. That's not unusual. What is new and unusual is the level to which another side will embrace language, again, that dehumanizes that person such that violence, it can now be rationalized. You cannot rationalize violence just because you don't like what somebody says, Bart. You cannot do it. And I see our protests becoming more and more acrimonial. I mean, the language is more incendiary. It's more threatening. It's more violent. And I know that as a result of the Charlie Kirk assassination and Erica Kirk's saying he forgive him, there are lots of folks who are saying there's revival. I hope that's true. I don't quite honestly share that just yet, because when I see the church talking about revival within the context of the pastors, the ministers, and the priests behind closed walls saying what they can free to say. What Charlie Kirk did, though, which was demonstrably different, is that he took his message to places where it literally was not welcome, which is not unlike the apostles or Paul. And it cost him his life.
We have a list here this morning that we put together before the broadcast searched several sources to find some of the significant challenges in Rutherford County that we're facing in 2025, and I wanted to get your views on these.
Good.
One, the very top one is a strained infrastructure. Rutherford County is experiencing growing pains from its rapid population increase. Heavy traffic congestions, particularly in Murfreesboro, the county's planning officials are focused on managing growth, but are challenged by a lack of adequate infrastructure for higher density development.
Right.
You're seeing that all over Rutherford County.
Right.
What are we doing about it?
So, yeah, that's that, and that is for managing this the growth of this county, Bart, that is absolutely the $64,000 question. So understand where we came from is that this county historically has struggled with meeting the infrastructure needs of the growth that the growth of this county created. That's number one. So when we came into office 3 years ago, September 1, there was a dearth of initiative and investment in infrastructure, whether it is schools that are overcrowded, whether it is roads that are congested, whether it is crime that needs more law enforcement, whether it is public safety, fire, and EMS that needs to be respond quicker. We have tried to address those needs. I think the county has to come to the table with the understanding that if you want infrastructure, it is not free. And so the question then is, what do you want? Do you want an investment into infrastructure to alleviate overcrowding, congestion, and deal with the growing safety issue? Or do we? How are we going then to remediate these issues without paying for them? And that's the $64,000 question. I believe, and I will always promote the idea that we can do this with the limited resources we have, but we have to be careful how we spend those resources because it is a competitive dollar. And so this next budget cycle for the county is going to be the most difficult and the most challenging yet because the competition for those reoccurring dollars is going to be extraordinary. Let me give you one example if I can real quick.
Sure.
If we have time. This county is faced with the need, the real need, not defined by us, the county, but by the federal government and the state, that we're going to have to build a new jail. That is not a cheap project. I'm just giving everybody a heads up. That is not a cheap shot. We're not talking about $150 or $200 million either. We're talking north of that. This is a very expensive project. But if we don't do this, if we don't undertake to do this, then the feds will come in and require to do it and dictate to us what that jail looks like. And at that point, you're talking about costing two or three times as much as if we controlled our own destiny on building a new adult detention center.
Isn't that what happened in the 80s? That exact same thing?
I think so. I know it just happened in Shelby County, and they're lamenting the fact that they're building a new jail, and it is because the feds are involved, the federal government's involved, because Shelby County's non-compliant and lost certification. It's costing, by some estimates, two to three times more than it should. We do not want to be in that situation.
We were, though. We had a lawsuit
right.
by the federal government.
That's correct.
In the 1980s, we were down, the jail was down on West Main.
West Main, that's right.
And we built a smaller one out next to the high-rise jail.
That's correct, on 99.
And that was going to be the jail that lasted forever.
Right. And guess what? It didn't last 10 years.
No. And now this one's full.
Right. And so this is you're talking about growth and infrastructure.
Is there a way to fix that? I mean, how can we control that?
A jail is very difficult. It ages very, very rapidly because of its use. It's 24/7, 365, all the time. And it endures an incredible amount of use, and it's very difficult to maintain because of security issues. Moreover, that site location is prone to flooding. And so we have foundational issues over there. It's real settling issues over there.
We didn't know that at first.
I don't know if we knew it or not, but we know it now. And the fact of the matter is the idea expanding that existing facility is going to be extremely challenging given the fact that the foundation over there is not particularly suited for expansion. It just isn't. It's just not. And so what I and some commissioners and Sheriff Fitzhugh and others are talking about is building a brand new jail. I honestly believe if we exercise some discipline and restraint in this next budget cycle, we can build a new jail in Rutherford County without having to raise property taxes. But if we're going to do that, we have got to have a county commission that exercises some restraint when it comes to spending reoccurring money for something other than reducing our bond service debt. We've got to reduce our bond service debt so that we can borrow the money to build a new jail that won't require the raising of property taxes. That's my goal, but I've got to have the help and cooperation of the county commission.
Now, you said the foundation of the current jail, because of the area around it,
right,
the ground, is not suitable to build on.
We don't believe so, and the architects and engineers are telling us they do not advise it.
Okay, well, so you're talking about building up. What about another building on that? Because we have a lot of property, and I guess we would still use that jail and just add to it with another.
No, that's the problem. The rest of the area is in a flood area.
The whole area.
Yeah, so we don't have room to expand outward. The only way we can go is up, and if we go up, that complicates and compounds the foundational problems we have over there.
So you're saying we have to have another location that's suitably built, suitable without flooding, things of that sort.
We
have a 9-10 story white elephant.
Right. Well, so
it's going to be vacant.
Let me back up. I'm a literalist, so I'm going to be very, very literal, if that's okay. I'm not saying we can't expand on that property. I'm saying it's financially not to our benefit to do that. The cost to expanding over there on a existing facility with the security problems in expanding existing facility make it the less financially attractive choice, in my opinion, for accomplishing the problem that we have a jail that was literally designed for 400 inmates, and we've got almost 1,000 in there right now. So, and what Sheriff Fitzhugh and his president did, they took the 400 beds and they double bunked them. Well, that has created some security issues as well, and so we're compliant with the Tennessee Corrections Institute. We're compliant with Tennessee currently. But because of the consistent overcrowding over there, we got approximately 1,000 inmates at any given time for a jail that was originally drawn, including expansion, for 400. Now, we've modified that, so we're compliant, but we need to think outside the box, Bart, with regards to a new jail. And this is something I also want to do. I want to know when as we begin to undertake the design and review of a new facility, how can we design a new facility that decreases the rate of recidivism? In other words, are there things in a jail that make the likelihood of those inmates coming back, is that a greater likelihood? I want to look into that. There are things that we can do to help reduce the rate of recidivism. You know, recovery court does a great job of that. And so we don't even have room over there for programs. You need to have Sheriff Fitzhugh and Steve Spence on sometime to talk about this. And Kevin Henderson, they can talk very knowledgeably about the current situation and how the current situation is going to impact the county very negatively financially in 5 years. In just 5 years from now, that's all we're talking about. So you're talking about congestion and growth and infrastructure. This is a prime example where we've not kept up. And if I'm the mayor, we're going to address this. My realistic goal is to address this without having to raise property taxes. I need the commission's help.
Wow. That would be a miracle almost to do all of that without
Bart,
property taxes.
As a Rutherford County mayor, I like the gauntlet you just threw down, because I'm going to pick the gauntlet up because I really believe we can do this. So I'm going to take up the challenge of performing a miracle here.
We will continue our broadcast. Boy, we are hitting home on some major issues. We will continue. Don't go away. In fact, call your friends. Tell them, turn on the radio right now. There's information you need to know.
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Hi, Murfreesboro. This is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. If you prefer puffy cheeks and cute little whiskers, come check out all of our pocket pets, such as hamsters, gerbils, mice, and rats. It's here at Animal City. We have a great small animal selection downstairs and all of the supplies to keep them healthy and happy. This is Amanda from Animal City. We are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, family owned and operated.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago. And we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
This is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
Be a part of their next flower arranging class.
If you are looking for some you time, grab some friends and sign up for a wreath or flower arranging class. It's a great way to relax, learn, and have fun. Refreshments are provided. We are open for other classes. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County as well as surrounding counties.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back. Want to say happy birthday to Lily Farley, age 12. Lily Farley, the winner of the Slick Pig Delicious Banana Pudding. Lily Farley, our good neighbor of the day. Everybody knows the good neighbor today. Diane Turnham is our good neighbor. She is so much involved with MTSU athletics. Wonderfully generous person, Diane Parnham. Thank you for all you do. She receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flower Coffee and Gifts. And we have a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WG. Well, maybe not. They hung up. Okay. So some people are not very patient.
Well, I hope the caller calls back. We love phone calls.
We will put you on hold until we get to the topic. Okay. So here is another. We're looking at the top issues in the county, the very top issues. Good morning. You're on WGNS with the mayor. Hi. Do you have anything?
Good morning. I wanted to speak to Bart and Mayor Carr about the American flag at the courthouse. Last week, it looked very faded. It wasn't frayed, but I would make a donation of a new flag if I have permission and the proper person to speak to.
Wow. Thank you so much. So if you don't mind, please tell me your first name. This is absolutely, Bart, we're going to camp out here for just
okay,
a second. This
sure.
is awesome, if you don't mind.
No.
Ma'am,
no.
Please, what is your first name?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, thank you so much for that. I did not realize it was worn, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. That's no excuse on my part. I typically, well, almost exclusively enter the courthouse through the east side, and of course the flagpole is on the west side of the square. But thank you for doing that, and your very generous offer to donate a flag isn't necessary, although appreciated. I will bring that to the attention of my staff today, and we will rectify that. We have flags that we regularly replace, and I will make sure that the staff knows that. As a matter of fact, I'm meeting with my director of maintenance later this morning, and I will instruct him that we need to replace that flag.
Well, thank you very much. I was going to use Hayes Flag to support local business.
Yes. I knew Mr. Hayes very, very well. I can't tell you how many stories he told me. Oh, wow, what a blessing that you referenced that wonderful gentleman.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much. It's important,
yes,
obviously.
It is.
So thank you for taking care of that. I appreciate it.
We will take care of it today. Thank you kindly.
Boy, that was great.
I love that. That's the Good Neighbor Station at work, man. I can't, you know, I people get mad at me, and I understand why they get a little irritated with me that I miss something like that. But when somebody brings something like that to my attention, it's just, it shows and how gentle and nice she was about it. Obviously, it was very important to her, Carolyn. And she with respect said, "Hey, I will do this if you can't." And I'm going, "Oh no, thank you so much for collaborating and just bringing things to my attention so we can get it taken care of." That's the way government works, Bart. That you saw it, and it's a little thing, but not a small thing.
It's on their mind.
It's on their mind, and it's important, and we're going to take care of it. So thank you, Carolyn.
And you're honoring Fane Haynes too.
Oh, Fane Haynes! I have so many good memories of Mr. Haynes. I guess he told you about his stories about the Battle of the Bulge and all that.
And he was a prisoner of war.
Yes. And this, I have such fond memories of that wonderful, wonderful hero. He was a true hero.
That's somebody who loved America.
He did that for a fact.
Here's another issue as we move on this morning. We're looking at some of the top issues, not chosen by you or me.
No.
Chosen by a group of people.
I have no idea what Bart's going to say next.
And this is something there's some things we can't control. We can't control the number of people moving in. We can't control that. But we can control the budget.
Yes.
In 2024-25 budget year, the county is facing the financial challenge of losing approximately $11 million. $11 million to new charter schools.
That's right.
State law requires the county to pay the schools up front based on expected enrollment, an unknown, but we're paying in advance. State law requires that. If that does not significantly reduce the school's up front cost, it's going to take away also from what the public schools have, and they're already strapped.
That's right.
What can be done? Is there anything can be done?
No, there's nothing to be done. That is state law. The county will follow state law. That $11 million shortfall, as referenced in that article in your statement, is accurate. However, it is a temporary shortfall that we hope we will get back in coming years as things start to settle, because essentially what we did, the county did, is we advanced the charter school system $11 million, and it's anticipated we should get that back in subsequent years. Now, we will have to see if that in fact happens through TISA funding and those kind of things, but at the end of the day, there's not a thing we can do about it. And while it created a significant cash flow issue for the county, Michael Smith, our finance director, who does a great job working with me on making sure that we have balanced budgets and that our revenues are sustainable, we believe we've got a solution to that going forward. But the solution is tenuous. So if the state starts changing things again, it will create another unfortunate crisis for the county that we'll have to manage.
So if we're losing that money for public education, are we also losing an estimated $5 to $6 million from changes to the County Powers Relief Act?
So we did lose $5 to $6 million in the short term. That spread out over like three or four years. But and I want to congratulate our delegation, Senator Reeves, Senator White, Representative Sparks, Representative Terry, Rudd, Stevens, and Baum for championing the county and its growth. And so what we will now have in the form of a school facility tax for the first time, and it's the revenue starting to come in, trickling in it is, but it will grow over time, is a school facilities tax on commercial development and an increase on residential development. So over time, it will offset that shortfall, Bart. It's just going to take a couple of 3 years for us to get there.
And the third most significant challenge for Rutherford County, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. In mid-2025, the Tennessee Comptroller of the Treasury took over the operations of the Rutherford County Property Assessor's Office. Took it over?
Yes.
I didn't realize they had taken it over.
Yeah, they went in there and they did an audit of 10%, as I understand it, about 10% of the 130,000 parcels. And they have completed that. And
it's 11.3%. That's okay. Well, we'll let you slide on that.
Thank you. I love it. You know what? I'm a literalist, Bob. Bart. Facts matter.
Whatever your name is.
Facts matter. So thank you. No, you correct me anytime. I love the fact. 11.3%, not 10%. But they did a sample, and they found that the error rate in that sample was significantly higher than what is allowed by law. And as a result, they had to come in, and the county has a bill that is due. We expect it to be several hundred thousand dollars that we will have to pay the comptroller's office to fix the problems in the assessor's office. And quite honestly, I'm not sure that the problems are fixed yet, because there's some.
What is that money for? I mean, is that for not charging enough property taxes?
No,
that's
for the comptroller's office to come in and do the job of reviewing the tax
roll. Oh, we're paying
their
staff.
We're paying their staff to come in and review the tax rolls to make sure they're done right, and come to find out they weren't done correctly. And so the bottom line is Comptroller Mumpower is scheduled to come to the next county commission meeting. I believe it's October 16th. And he is going to present his findings. He and his full staff are coming to present their findings and present the bill to the county regarding what they have found and all the alleged discrepancies and errors and what the county needs to do going forward. And so that'll happen at the county commission on October 16th, I believe.
And that's Mr. Mumpower.
Jason Mumpower.
All righty. Here's another question. Criminal justice and public safety. Overcrowd. Well, we've talked about this, about the overcrowding at the jail. Let's move on to the next one. Middle Point Landfill. Everybody talks about that is solved, but is it solved?
Yes, it's solved for what we can do. Remember, Middle Point can't close until they won't close. They can close anytime they want, but they won't close until they're full. And so what Middle Point Republic has always wanted to do is, and I've used this analogy before, if Middle Point Landfill is a 16-ounce cup and you've got 16 ounces of fluid in it, then it's closed. What they're trying to do is they're trying to enlarge their cup from a 16-ounce to a 96-ounce. They're trying to quadruple it in size so that they can extend the life. The only way they can really do that is to purchase our old landfill. We're not going to sell our old landfill because I don't want Republic as a neighbor, because they've had numerous violations just in the last 6 months. I think it's like a half a dozen violations just in the last few months. So they haven't been a good neighbor, even though promising they would clean up and do better. They've not done better. As a matter of fact, they've actually done worse. And so this is going to solve itself. And right now our transfer station, which we built at a cost of $17 million, $3 million under budget, is doing phenomenally well. We're bringing in about 8,500, 9,000 tons of trash a month into the transfer station. It's profitable to the county, so it's not counting, despite the critics and the naysayers, it's not cost the county property taxpayer really anything. And, we generated the first month of operation, we generated $80,000 back to the solid waste department. The second month, we generated over $90,000 back to the solid waste department. And so we have an excellent solution going forward that allows us going forward, and this is extremely important, to begin recycling. And the Solid Waste Department and I will be announcing significant recycling efforts beginning with our schools here shortly.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We had a person who had a question for you, and we had them on hold, but I guess they got...
Rats.
They got tired.
Will you interrupt me if we get a caller? But say, Mayor, shut up. We got a caller. That's what you can do.
Well, I think we have another caller
Good.
Now. You're on WGNS with our county mayor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, Mayor. Bart, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We hear you. Go ahead and ask your question. We hear you fine. Do you have something to ask?
They sound like they're on a cell phone. Went
to
the dead area.
I think they had the radio on.
I hope the caller will call back.
Yeah, I think their radio was on.
Yeah.
I think they got confused with that. You have to turn the radio off because it's slightly off.
It's a delay.
And you will think your mind will go crazy.
It's like we need any help.
That's right. 615-893.
Bart, was that what was that?
I'm not sure what that was, but it was delayed audio-wise. Yeah. Our water treatment plant, while primarily an issue in nearby Wilson County, Rutherford County is not immune to the sewage problems caused by our growth.
Yeah.
What is being done to resolve that?
Well, quite honestly, we have a problem in Rutherford County with, we have a lot of limestone and we have a lot of Talbot clay, neither of which are conducive to a positive perk test so we can build homes. So we have limited soils, and that's part of the problem because of the growth.
Good morning. Do you have a question for our county mayor?
Good morning, Bart. Good morning, Mayor Carr. This is Gary Farley. How you doing this morning?
Morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Hey, I appreciate the update on the comptroller's office in our Mr. Mitchell's office this morning. My question is, with all this evidence that's coming forth, what is the county going to do? Or what's the county commission going to do about this? This is it's a pretty bad mark on Rutherford County and that office. There's some great employees in that office, but just wanted to find out what your thoughts on that.
Well, I do know Commissioner Farley, and thank you for asking that question. I do know that there's still an investigation going on. I do know that the TBI and the comptroller's office are involved. I also know that they're not commenting. And so I don't have anything to add or to say about that investigation because they're not commenting. I do know that Comptroller Mumpower reached out to Chairman Phillips two months ago, and asked to be put on the agenda for the county commission. And so he is on the agenda to address the investigation and to bring the county a bill. I don't know what that bill is. I hope I know in advance of October 16th, but I don't know what that is. I would suggest if you're interested in this issue, Commissioner Farley, you show up to the commission meeting on October 16th, and so you can hear it like I will. But you're right, it's not good for the county.
Thank you for your call, by the way. We're going to pause for just a moment, and we'll be back with the final segment of our broadcast this morning. We're looking at some of the challenges that Rutherford County is facing.
We got some good neighbors, and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Put it in writing on WGNS. WGNS. AM. FM. Online.
Holden Hardware now has an e-commerce site. Go to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware and shop all the items in our warehouse. You can have them shipped directly to you, or most items can be shipped for free to Holden Hardware for pickup. Shop with us in person or go online to doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
One more time.
doitbest.com/Holden-hardware.
Hi, this is Trevor from Bell Jewelers. We just got back from the Vegas show, and we have a lot of new beautiful pieces from Vahan, Jude Francis, and Simon G. My cousin Taylor and my aunt Lisa, they're one of the best at going to a jewelry show and picking out the best pieces of the best prices for our customers here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can find pieces from the show that no one's going to have around here. Come in quickly while the supplies last. Come see us at Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street, across from Toots.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, chance for rain and storms, a low of 68. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 71.
Need a new set of tires? Head to Tire World, where you can buy now, pay later. Ask your Tire World experts in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne about their financing options.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Get the Bridgestone affiliated retailer credit
All
card.
All that's news with Matt Lane, weekday afternoon.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Welcome back. We're in the final segment of the broadcast. As we mentioned at the beginning of the program, we have gone around, checked what a group of people all around cross-section feel are the major issues facing Rutherford County at this time. One of those we haven't touched on, I don't know if there's even a solution for it, but it's affordable housing. And one of the concerns of people is if their houses are not selling, you can't say to a person, I don't want to sell you my house. I changed my mind. And so corporations are coming in, buying homes, and renting them as a corporation.
So here's what I want to ask you, Bart. I'm going to put you on the spot here. You raised this question, so you and I are going to go at it for 10 minutes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Good. Define for me, Bart, affordable housing.
Affordable housing is a home that somebody can afford where they are in life. There are several types of affordable housing. One is the beginning home. If somebody told me when I was starting out, the beginning home is $400,000, I would have thought, you're kidding me.
I bought my first home in 1985 for $65,000 from Barbara Hudson, by the way.
Okay.
Go Barbara, warrior.
You know what I paid for my first home?
No.
$18,000.
You are older than me. I guess the reason I asked the question about what is affordable housing is because what definition are we going to use to solve the problem?
Well, it's something that people can afford.
Right. But, okay, so let me ask it. I
love it. Are they making enough money?
No. What about? Never mind that. Of course. That's always
To afford it.
Right.
But ever happy.
Let me give you two examples. We got two men, 35 years old. One of them has saved his money. He got married when he was 25. He has one child, and he and his wife work. And then you've got another gentleman who's 35. He also got married when he was 25, but he also got divorced at 30, and he's got two children by a previous marriage, and he marries again. And so now he has those two children and that wife, and he has his two children by his current wife. So now he has four children. And we are going, so what is the affordability equation for those two examples? And so the problem we have, Bart, is nobody can define what affordability is so that we can address it. And the reason is because it's subjective. It depends on who we're talking about. However, having said all of that, it doesn't excuse at all the county from its moral obligation of trying to address this so people can afford reasonable housing in the community. And the county has, with little fanfare, engaged in three different developments providing tax incentives to recuperate and renovate existing housing apartments so that people can continue to live in these housings at an affordable rate. And that's, we're doing that. We need to do more, but it's a challenging issue because affordable to one person is not affordable to somebody else. And it's because of life circumstances, which has really nothing to do with the demand in the county.
And this was brought up to me this weekend, so this is fresh in my mind. A young person told me, they said, the problem is not only are the homes extremely expensive, even for a starter home, but so are the interest rates.
Yep.
Back when you and I bought the homes, the interest rates, I won't say were lower, because I remember hitting an 18% one at one point.
Brother Bart, when I bought my home, I got a 10% interest rate, and my wife and I were over the moon. Thank you, Barbara Hudson. Over the moon excited to have 10%. So that's, and interest rates are historically, have been always in the 5 to 6 to 7% range. It was
that is the norm. That is 6%.
The norm is 5 to 7%. It's an anomaly when we had interest rates of 2 or 3%, which,
well, you can't run an economy. You can't run anything.
It's difficult, and so we just have to we have to address the fact. Number one, there's a significant demand for housing in Rutherford County that actually adversely affects the price of housing. But I can't tell somebody you can't sell your home for X because you need to sell it for Y because this person can't afford it at X. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's a difficult situation, which one we're always addressing, but it is horribly difficult.
Back to the old slogan, this is your bed, you made it.
Yeah, this is your house, you built it. I guess you can sell it for what you want.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bart. It's always a blessing. Micah 6:8, ladies and gentlemen.
Have a great day.
You too.
County Mayor Joe Carr visiting with us to solve problems next. Chip Walters. We're going to give him a bunch of questions.
Maybe we should stick around.
That's right.